right, we have one case on our 10:30 docket. Waterway Ranch LLC versus City of Eneta. If the clerk will please have counsel announce, or announce for counsel.
May it please the court, Mr. Steve Smith to argue for the appellate, Mr. Frederick Richquist to argue for the appellate.
All right, Mr. Smith.
Good morning.
Morning.
May it please the court. I'm Steve Smith. This is my partner, Steve Sanfilippo. We're with Rose Walker for the appellant, Waterway Ranch, LLC. We're here because the town of Eneta decided that it didn't want an upscale manufactured housing community built next to it. And then it abused its power and manipulated the annexation process in order to prevent that from happening. Waterway Ranch bought a 40-acre tract of land, uninhabited, remained uninhabited, that bordered the town of Eneta. At the time it bought the land, there were no restrictions on its development, and it received preliminary plat approval from the county. It received permitting from the city for the construction of infrastructure. Waterway spent a lot of money on the land, spent a lot of money on professional marketing materials, on construction, built signs and gating and fencing. I believe there was a septic system that didn't get completed that had begun construction, several other infrastructures. They spent a lot of money on this, and there were no issues. Nobody had a problem. Sometime in the fall of 2010, the citizens of Eneta decided they didn't want this neighboring their town. They didn't want them as neighbors. And they pulled Waterway's permits, and then they submitted a petition for annexation under Texas Local Government Code, Section 43.024. With Waterway's property, they also, the town, Eneta, also lumped in some other tracts of land along with it. Waterway fought the annexation at every step of the way. It didn't do any good. Eneta moved forward and got the annexation ordinance signed. As a result of that, Waterway filed suit believing that the proper annexation statute, if there was one, had to be under Local Government Code 43028. At the district court level, both sides filed motions for summary judgment, and there as it is here, there's really one primary issue. And that's whether 43024 applies or 43028 applies to the annexation of Waterway's property. 43028 applies when you have unoccupied land. It is undisputed that Waterway's property is unoccupied. To get around that, what Eneta did is they lumped some other tracts of land in with it and called it a annexation, quote unquote, area, so they could try to use 43024 and use a quote-unquote majority vote to approve the annexation. The question becomes whether or not Waterway's property is geographically separate under the law requiring Eneta to use 43028. And this court is in a unique position to address this question because the only case that we've been able to find that discusses whether or not the factors involved in this case can establish geographic separateness. The only opinion we can find comes from this court, and that's in the North Lake case that was briefed fairly extensively by both sides. Waterway's property is bordered entirely on its east side by Duncan Road. And it's bordered, appellant argues, on the southern side by the city of Eneta prior to the annexation. So the two questions that we have to decide that are at the focus of this appeal are whether Duncan Road operates to effectively geographically separate the annexation area and the location of Eneta's city limit line, which goes to the question of whether or not Waterway's property was contiguous or whether it was connected to any other property that was included within the annexation area.
Mr. Smith, I find it interesting looking at the map that's on page 4 of your brief. References different colors. Of course, we don't have the benefit of colors in our record or in the briefing. And I'd like you to help me a little bit with some of these lines that we're looking at. You have the map there in front of you?
I have a slightly highlighted version of that map you're looking at. If I may approach, I'd be happy to show this to you. I don't have a blow-up.
Well, I'm looking at this map on your brief, but it's fine if you want to give us
it's
a different
slightly one. Large, but that is a cutout of the relevant section. May I approach?
Yes, please do. And I might suggest if you could to provide something more along these lines to the court after argument today.
There are much more clear depictions and maps in the record.
Okay, already in the record. Okay.
Well, I found this map. We found this map in the record, but it doesn't appear to be the same map as the one that's on page 4.
What you're seeing on page 4 is this section.
Okay.
So it's blown up a little bit. The yellow area is waterways property. The pink line is the city limit line that's depicted on, this is Aneta's official map.
Okay.
As you could get on their website.
So basically that is already in the record.
And that's correct.
And so the waterway property is this dotted line here?
That's correct, John.
This one right here and this up here? Is that the southern boundary?
It's the larger area. I'll go back to my copy so I can read. I can tell you the Hardwick survey. The darker line on page 4, you see the CC Hardwick survey? You're right. That square area that you were looking at, Your Honor?
Yes, sir. I see that. CC Hardwick survey, abstract number, looks like something 75.
Yes, sir. That is waterways property. The dark line beneath it is the city limit line represented on Aneta's map.
The dark line that's got under it 2500.00.
The dark line right underneath in 89 degrees, 32 feet, 43 E.
So that is the existing city limits?
According to Aneta's official map, yes, Your Honor.
And that's going right through, well, I guess maybe 60-40 split of the property on the north-south basis.
Everything on the southern side of that line is the Waters property. It's owned by Cynthia Waters and I believe her now late husband. The waterway property ends at that dark line. That is the southern boundary of waterways property.
This map is north and south, right?
Yes. Yes, Your Honor.
And then this dark line you're talking about is the one that's got N89, 32 degrees, 43 east, 4400,
Yes, Your Honor, that's
that
correct.
That dark line, the 4400, is what? Is that the southern boundary of the city of Aneta, according to Aneta?
At that point, it's the northern boundary. The official map is very difficult to follow their city limit line, and that's one of the issues we've faced in this lawsuit.
Okay, so northern boundary, that little piece that's cut out there when you look at a reverse Oklahoma.
And is Duncan Road, does it just stop?
No,
it
extends,
on the map?
Your Honor.
It extends all the way through?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
And it is undisputed that Duncan Road completely splits all of Waterways property from the remainder of the annexation area as described, except for the dispute as to whether the Waters property to the south was properly included within the annexation area. But as in the east to west direction, it's undisputed that Duncan Road completely separates the tracts of land. So the question is, does that road, quote unquote, geographically separate the annexation area? And as best as we can find, and the Aneta has not found any other case addressing that question other than the North Lake case, which comes out of this court. And in that case, this court held, North Lake, in order to create one unified tract, has annexed a 600-foot-long connecting right-of-way to join what otherwise would be two completely separate tracts with no common boundary. We hold that the Justin Sindri property and the property east of North Lake, where occupant consent was obtained, are geographically separate tracts, and North Lake must obtain owner consent before annexing the property. And that is out of the court's North Lake opinion. Aneta has tried to downplay this opinion a bit, saying that that was a third or redundant holding by this court. Regardless of where it falls in the text, it is a specific holding by this court, and this court deemed it important enough to include within the opinion. And it's the only opinion that discusses whether or not a road creates a geographical separation for the purposes of 43028.
Mr. Smith, please look at page 4 of your appellate's brief.
Yes, Your Honor.
I'm looking at Duncan Road as being drawn, as I look at it, to the left of a dotted line.
Yes.
Is that dotted line the property line that is the eastern property line of the waterway property?
The dotted lines, I believe, represent ETJs, extraterrestrial jurisdiction. There's Aneta, and then to the north of Aneta is Aneta North, and then there's Aneta South. And there are different ETJs. And part of the problem with this map, and I believe my opinion of why it's been removed from the website, there's no longer a map available after this case occurred at the district court level. They have commissioned a surveyor to redraw the map. There was never any meets and bounds description for the city of Aneta city limit lines.
All right. So the words where it says Duncan in the bottom of that little dotted line before the heavy line, is that Duncan the eastern boundary of the waterway property?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes, it is. The waterway property is to the west of Duncan Road. The remainder of the annexation area is to the east of Duncan Road, with the exception of the waterway waters property to the south, which is the second question that we'll get to. So the questions to ask for the application of 43028 are whether or not Duncan Road operates as a geographically separating factor in that analysis, which this court has held yes, and have seen no other cases that have addressed that question. The other question is where the city limit line is located. In other words, the important thing we're trying to determine is whether the waters property to the south was already included within the city of Aneta at the time of this alleged annexation. We submit that it was. Based on this map, based on the affidavit of Sid Whitener that was submitted with Waterways summary judgment at the district court level, that statement was stricken by the district court, we believe, in error. But he was the property manager for this property and attended all of the hearings and testified to his personal knowledge as the manager of Waterway Ranch that the southern border of Waterways property was the then existing city limit line of Aneta. That was stricken, we believe, in error, and that's a subject of our brief.
So for purposes of Mr. Whitener's testimony, he would have been deemed to be the owner or the manager for the owner of the property?
That's correct.
Which is a limited liability corporation.
That's correct. At one time, he was a member. Mm-hmm. He sold his investment but remained on as manager of the property. It was a single entity or a single purpose entity. At the district court level, both sides filed motions for summary judgment on this issue as to which statute applied. It was shortly before elections and the entire town showed up. It was a packed courtroom, and you'll see from the reporter's record that one of the citizens even stood up and tried to testify like it was a town hall meeting and said, "We don't want them there." The judge, despite the town's official map showing the location of the city limit line, despite the affidavit of Sid Whitener saying that the city limit line was Aneta's southern border, the court only considered an affidavit by Mrs. Waters, who was an annexation petitioner and who lives in the property to the south of Waterways property. At the 11th hour, submitted an affidavit saying that that she was not within the city limits.
So Ms. Waters' affidavit came in, but Mr. Whitener's didn't.
Portions of Mr. Whitener's were stricken, and Ms. Waters' affidavit came in. We would submit, and it is our position, that the Waters' affidavit is no summary judgment evidence at all. It was a supremely interested witness and conclusory. We, on the other hand, had the official map of Annetta, as well as the affidavit of somebody with personal knowledge of the location of the city limit line. For reasons I can't explain, portions of his affidavit, including his statement of where the city limit line was located, was stricken. The official map of Annetta was ignored, and the only evidence that was considered was Ms. Waters' affidavit as far as the location of the city limit line. So we would submit Waterway should have won their summary judgment. We would ask the court to reverse and render on the basis that the Waters affidavit is really no summary judgment evidence at all. At an absolute minimum, there has to be a fact question. Their official map puts the city limit line separating the two properties. At an absolute minimum, that has to be the case.
I have a question. On the map that we've been looking at on page 4, where are the other properties that were annexed?
It's a funny looking line. They are the one property, Waters property, to the south. Everything else is north of that 4400 dark line and on the east side of Duncan Road.
Okay.
And it's not a straight line. It outlines tracts of land that they were trying to include. They didn't do a meets and bounds description of the whole area. What they did is they included in the ordinance the individual tract meets and bounds descriptions. And that's part of the problem that they've had with their map.
Thank you.
But there was another map or plat that was entered into evidence, correct?
There was a blow-up again of
this one?
Even larger than this, that was submitted with the by the petitioners with the annexation petition.
Okay.
I don't recall if it shows that line or not. Unless there are any questions, I believe I'm out of time.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Quast.
May it please the court, Fritz Quast on behalf of the City of Annetta. Let's start out with some factual representations that I think are a little not in the record, and I don't think supported by anything. There's been no plat submitted. There's no plat on this property absolutely at all approved by either the city or the county. There's no plat filed of record. They went out there, started turning dirt. To the extent they got approval of their sewer system, that has been since rescinded by the county. They have applied for absolutely no permits from the city whatsoever. No building permits, no plat applications, no rezoning, nothing. But
if they're contesting being within the city limits, why would they?
Absolutely. But that has to go to essentially their alternative claims and whether we think they're ripe or not.
Okay.
Let me simplify that. Any discussion of 43028, general law cities like Annetta, they have very limited annexation authority. They can't do involuntary annexations except in two circumstances. One is when they provide utility service, certain types of utility service to the area. The other being when the property owner consents. The third is what I call the A's have it provision that essentially says you can define an area, and if a majority of the voters in that area decide to become a part of the city can annex that area. Now, what does area mean? It's not defined in the statute. Black's Law Dictionary says it's a surface, territory, or region. And this statute actually was originally enacted in 1875. It was part of the original annexation statute for general law cities. And essentially it described you could annex a territory. And I certainly believe that that's a term that can be more broad than the term area. In the years after 1875, the Texas Supreme Court decided at least two opinions concerning what can be an area or territory under what is now 43024. If we look at the Waxahachie case, and if I have a map actually included in my brief on page 13, this is a Texas Supreme Court case from 1891. If you look at that map closely, the inner dark lines, that's the city of Waxahachie before annexation. And if you look at the outer dotted lines, that is the area that was included in a single annexation. And the Supreme Court said that, you know, this annexation area essentially compassed three sides of the city. And the Supreme Court described it as one body of land. There's discussion in the opinion about on the west side of Waxahachie, that could be considered a separate and distinct community. Most of the people there were against annexation. And essentially the Supreme Court held that that is fine. You can define a single territory or area as essentially surrounding your city on three sides. 50 years later, in 1941, this is a, I've included a map on page 14 from the State X. Rel. Walker City of Gladewater case. The actual map is actually from the Court of Civil Appeals opinion. I've included on the brief again at page 14. It again shows the city of Gladewater. The dotted line is the city of Gladewater. The 1,000-foot annexation area essentially almost surrounds the city completely. Now, if you'll notice, there is a railroad cutting through the center of the city. To the southwest of the city in the shaded area, that is the property of the owners of the people that were challenging the annexation. And this is what the opinion said about that property. The property was situated to the southwest of the city where there is no territory built up or inhabited, that the land was not fit for city purposes, was not inhabited, and was low, swampy, overflow land consisting only of oil properties, refineries, storage pits, storage tanks, and saltwater pits. You know, besides saying there's prickly pears and rattlesnakes, nobody lived out there. So any argument that they make that says that we can't be included in the annexation area because we're the only unoccupied property, that's complete. I don't think that is consistent with what the Texas Supreme Court has defined as a permissible area. The other main argument, of course, is that, well, we can't be included in the area because we're on the other side of Duncan Road. In other words, here's Duncan Road, we're over here. You can't touch us because you would have to annex across the road. Well, there's no specific discussion of this in those cases, but I would like to note in the Walker case, there's a railroad right-of-way running to the center of town, and everybody that voted for annexation is on the other side of the railroad, and the people challenging are on the southwest side. And if you look at the Waxahachie case, I think it's fair to assume that all the roads in and out of Waxahachie didn't come from the south. Same thing goes with the city of Gladewater. It is safe to assume that those areas crossed roads of some nature. With respect to the North Lake case, again, we'll stand by our position that the statements concerning whether the area could be included in one area is dicta. I understand that the court is probably not going to want to say that about a prior opinion of its own. It's easily distinguishable. If you read the facts of that case very closely, everybody that voted for the annexation, all of the occupied property was north of Farm to Market Road 407. And then if you go over to the east, to the south of 407, was the unoccupied 364 acres where they were going to have a solid waste landfill. The only thing connecting the two tracks was a 600-foot string of FM 407 right-of-way. And I take the opinion to stand for the proposition that you can't gerrymander it like that. But what that opinion, essentially, you can't connect these two tracks with a single thin. In other words, up here we had the voters, down here we had the landfill, and you had this little skinny piece connecting the two. The court said that's not one area. I again think that's dicta, but I think it's easily distinguishable from the facts of this case. In other words, all we're saying is we just annexed an area that has a road down the center of it. That's not the facts of North Lake, and I think easily distinguishable.
But here's the problem that I see with your position is that you have You said, you started out by saying that general rule cities, general law cities like the city of Annetta have limited annexation power. And then you went through the times when they can annex, when they provide utilities, when the property owners consent, or when the voters of in the area approve. And so we don't have utilities and we don't have the property owners consent here. So we have to go under voters.
Absolutely.
And so the way that the problem that I see is that this encourages the city, if they want to annex an area that the property owner is not consenting, the property owner is saying we're not going to consent, they can just glom on some more properties and get the voters in that area to vote, and then there you go. You've subverted the property owner's right to not consent, which is expressly provided for in one provision of the statute, by glumming on other areas.
Yes, absolutely. But again, Your Honor, if you look at the prior cases, you can include unoccupied territory in the grand area of things that are being annexed under 024. If you look at the history, 024 was originally part of the statutes in 1875. And there were a couple of cases to where they said, well, there's not, you know, the area that was annexed, there were only two people living there, or they were unoccupied, so we can't use what would become 024. And in the late 40s is when they added 028. So I don't think that you can stand by the proposition that if it's unoccupied, you have to have consent. That is absolutely not what the way the Supreme Court has interpreted it, and I still believe that is good law. Very quickly, with respect to the
Do you agree that if you had just tried to annex the waterway property, you would not be able to?
That is absolutely true. Absolutely true. Your Honor, I want to clarify a couple things about this particular map. Or this is a blow-up of what used to be Annetta's official map. Most of the dotted lines and the green one you'll see there, those are survey lines. Okay, that is the Hardwick survey abstract, they're abstract lines. The city of Annetta, you can see in a darker line in blue. The question they've raised, Mr. Widener testified in a portion of his affidavit that was stricken. He said, I know that the southern boundary of my property line is the city of Annetta northern city limits. In other words, he said, my property line is right there. Miss Waters, who lives to the south, testified that, no, I know that the city limit line doesn't come up to my property line. And in fact, I live outside the city limits on my property. Part of my property is in the city limits. Part of my property is outside the city limits. I live outside the city limits on my property. And essentially, that portion of Mr. Widener's affidavit was stricken, I think for good reason. He just testified, I am a officer of this corporation that owns this piece of property, and therefore I know all these things. And he testified to a number of things about where the property line is. He didn't say he'd looked at anything. He didn't say he'd ever been to the property. He didn't say he's there on a regular basis. He didn't say he'd talked to anybody. And then... So I think the court was well within its discretion to strike that portion of the affidavit.
I have another question.
Yes.
Do you know, for the annexation ordinance that was passed, what percentage of the total amount of property that was annexed within that annexation ordinance the waterway property comprises?
I believe that the total annexation area adds up to about 97 acres, and I think that is in their pleading. The waterway property is a little over 40 acres. So someone with a math degree, that's, you know, under 50%. Is that right? Yes, under 50%. Whew.
Thank you.
I want to address really quickly something that unfortunately, I don't think the court can ignore. Well, I'm sorry. One more thing. I wanted to point out in the record, I believe, is a map that shows better the annexation area. I think it's in the first volume. 149 is a picture depicting the annexation area. 150, the copies, and this is a copy of a copy, and I did not take apart this to make these copies. I'll just, and if we need, the court needs the originals, please let us know. They're not easy to read. And
Was there any other area that was annexed that was greater than 40 acres, or were all the other areas that were included in the annexation?
All of the tracts were, I think the biggest was Duhus. The Waters property just to the south was 20 acres. How much of it was in the city of Annette already? How much was outside? I don't really know.
Thank you.
Last thing I want to bring up, Your Honor, is the order that was essentially a final judgment in this case was signed on May 1st. Motions for new trial are due within 30 days. We have motions for new trial, motion for reconsideration that were file marked on June the 1st. And, of course, I understand that they could be timely. And the cases are very lenient. Essentially, what I have said to the court is they couldn't be timely. This is not something that we can ignore because, of course, if the motions for new trial were not timely, the notice of appeal were not timely either. So we can't just sweep it under the rug and forget about it. We have to know that they complied with the mailbox rule. If they put those motions in the mail on May 31st, 2012, then they're, of course, timely because we know the court got them the next day on June 1st. That's when those motions were file marked. And the cases are very lenient. About it doesn't even have to be in the record. You can file an affidavit, and all you got to say is have somebody say, we stuck it in the mail on May 31st, 2012. They haven't done that yet. They have just said, well, in the record it says we mailed the motions on May 31st. No, they're citing two certificates of service saying that they mailed them to me, to my firm, on May 31st. That doesn't cut it. So to the extent they can't prove that they put those things in the mail or that they FedExed them on that day or FedExed them the next day, well, that's not gonna satisfy the rule, and somebody gets to write a very, very short opinion. Unless there are any questions, I'll give my time back to the
court. Did you raise that issue in your brief?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
Okay.
And
sorry,
I don't have the – it's issue –
there we go.
My response to issue 4.
Okay.
I believe.
I'm sorry. I totally overlooked.
Of course, one last question about the map.
Yes, Your Honor.
Look at where Duncan Road is projected to be running what I believe is in a north to south direction.
Yes, I see that.
There is a dotted line that's to the right of Duncan Road. And then there is Duncan Road, and as I understand it, the boundary of the waterway property is Duncan Road.
Yes, Your Honor. I am not sure that the depiction of the location of Duncan Road on this map in relation to the abstract line, which is that dotted line you're referring to, I do believe that the abstract line in the east line of the waterway property coincide. And I do believe, looking at the property descriptions, that that also coincides with Duncan Road. I just don't think that this is accurate on this map, the location.
But my question is the property that is on the east side of Duncan Road, is that in the city limits of City of Veneta?
That was part of the property that was annexed. That was part of the annexation area.
No, I'm talking about prior to this annexation. Was that property in the city of Annette?
No, Your Honor. If you'll look at the blue highlight I have here, that was the prior city limit line.
Okay,
for Annette.
I understand.
And the area annexed include generally this area here.
All right, thank you very much.
Any other questions? I thank the court for its time.
Thank you, Mr. Quast. Mr. Smith, rebuttal?
I have a question. So the waterway property forms the westernmost border of the property annexed?
Correct.
Thank you.
Correct. And I did not address this before because this was submitted with the motion for new trial and motion for reconsideration. After the Waters affidavit came out, Waterway did hire a surveyor and submitted an affidavit with some very detailed and very blown up maps that I would be more than happy to give you, not only for consideration of the record, but also to help ease the process and following along. If you find that interesting.
Were they in the record below?
I don't know the answer to that from a legal perspective. They were not submitted until Waterway filed its motion for new trial and its motion for reconsideration. So they are, they're with our briefing. I'm not an appellate guy, to be honest
because
with you.
I don't know
if they're technically part of the
We really can't look at things that aren't in the appellate record.
And you may not, and that's why I did not mention it in my primary argument. I just meant for
facilitating
and understanding the lay of the land, so to speak. For demonstrative purposes, I'd be happy to show that to you. Otherwise, Justice Walker, you hit the nail on the head. This is exactly what they did. They wanted to annex our property. They wanted to shut us down. They knew they couldn't do it alone, as they've admitted, so they lumped some other property in with it. Pure and simple. When you add Waterway's property and acreage to the Waters property, that represents over 60 of the 90-plus that were annexed. The Waters property was already within the city. I do want to raise a couple of issues with the cases and the statute that council raised. All of them were created and the opinions given prior to the adoption of 43028. And neither of the cases that Annetta relies on had involved unoccupied tracts of land. The case where he talked about the railroad separation, the right of way, there was occupancy on both sides. Neither case involved an unoccupied tract of land. Completely inapplicable to this case. And the original adoption of 024 and both of the cases cited, one was from 1891, the other from 1941. 43028 wasn't enacted until 1949. One would argue that the reason it was enacted was to address this situation. Towns were abusing their power and annexing unoccupied land because they could describe the annexation area however they wanted to. And that's what they were doing. After 1949, they can't do that anymore. So the Supreme Court, as counsel stated, hasn't interpreted any of this in the context of 43028. This court is the only one that has.
So, Mr. Smith, you would contend that the way to read the 4024 section is only to would be to exclude unoccupied territory or unoccupied land within the definition of area.
Unless it's contiguous to other annex tracts. That is correct, Your Honor. And that's why.
And your contention here is that Waterway tract is not contiguous. It looks to me like it's touching on Waters property.
But the Waters property was already part of the city, and that's our argument. It could not have rightfully been included in the annexation area because it was already within the city limits. And that's
an
one of the two.
An property across Duncan Road to the east, you contend, is separated by Duncan Road and therefore not a part of a proper area.
I contend that the separation by Duncan Road makes Waterway's property a geographically separate tract of land for the purposes of 43028.
All right. Thank you, sir.
The only other issue I wanted to mention in response was I thought it was telling that even counsel said that he didn't know, and Annetta doesn't know, how much, if any, of the Waters property was already in within the city limits at the time of the annexation, which is exactly our point. We believe that the evidence available establishes that all of the Waters property was already included within Annetta. That's our contention. But at an absolute minimum, council has just admitted there is a fact question at worst as to that question.
Smith.
Yes, Your Honor.
What part of the record reflects whether or not the motion for new trial was mailed as opposed to filed in hand?
Your Honor, it's addressed on page 10 of our reply brief. And if you would like, Mr. Sanfilippo here actually handled that. I'm sure he'd be happy to answer any questions you have on that.
Judge, would you like to hear from?
Look at 10 first.
Let me start on bottom of page 9. In the reply brief, Your Honor.
Looking at the reply brief. So your contention is that the motions were mailed on May 31st?
Yes, Your Honor.
And received and filed on June the 1st, the next day?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
I don't believe so. Thank you very much, Mr. Smith. Mr. Quas, we appreciate all of your arguments today and all of your briefing. We appreciate you being here today. Your case is now submitted, and you all are excused. We have no further cases on our docket this morning, so we will be adjourned.
Thank you.